Our study tonight is out of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 to chapter 4, verse 5, countering carnal divisions over God's servants by avoiding worldly evaluations of men. Functioning by means of the sin nature, what we term carnality, is often a challenge in today's churches. 1 Corinthians was written to carnal believers, according to 1 Corinthians 3, 1-3, and 1 Corinthians 3, 16-4-5 shows how the believer can counter carnal divisions over God's servants by avoiding worldly evaluations of men. I'd like to read the passage, and then we'll look at it. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 through 4-5. Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. And you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then every man shall have praise of God. Continuing his admonition against harboring divisions in the church over which servant of God one should follow, Paul asserted that the local church, the word you in verses 16 and 17 being plural in the Greek text, was the temple of God, that the Spirit of God dwelt in them as a body. That's interesting. As a church, Paul would address us, he said, all of you, and in Greek it's the plural, are the temple of God. Nepog Church is a local part of the temple of God, but it is the temple of God. It's where God dwells. He dwells in his people. It doesn't dwell in the building itself per se. Yeah, God is omnipresent. He dwells throughout the universe, but he is expressing himself through his people. So the people, each one of us, is a living stone of the temple of God, and God is indwelling us, and that's why we are the temple. So if any local church leader was to destroy that local church temple of God in the sense of destroying its spiritual vibrancy and unity by errant ministry, him would God destroy. For the temple of God and the local church of gathered believers is positionally holy before the Lord. This is why it's very, very solemn for a leader in a church to take his job very seriously, whether he's a board member, whether he's a pastor, whether any other kind of leader in the church, because we're accountable. The church doesn't belong to us. The church belongs to God. And if we destroy the church as far as hurting its fellowship or hurting its discipleship and so forth, we get in trouble from God, because God is very, very protective of his flock. The church, the local church, is the program in the mind of God. This group of gathered believers here tonight, this is the important program, not a government or some other big movement that is occurring in the world. It's the church. And when the church is taken out, then the whole program of God changes and we get into the Great Tribulation period. But the church is extremely important to God. For this reason, Paul directed that no local church leader should deceive himself in presuming that he was wise because he had a measure of worldly wisdom. For the world's wisdom was foolishness in God's eyes, so that any church leader had to realize that any worldly wisdom he had was foolish, that he might become teachable to gain God's wisdom and be truly spiritually productive in the church. It's interesting, Paul pointed this out. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seems to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. He meant let him become a fool in the sense of giving up on his claim to being wise because he happens to be wise in regards to the world's wisdom. Well, Paul then urged his Corinthian readers, be they subordinates or leaders in the local church, not to glory in men in terms of worldly evaluation. For in the believer's position in Christ and through Christ, all things are possessed by every believer, be it every leader in the church given to the body for its edification, the world, life, death, things present, things to come. Each believer in Christ then belongs to Christ and Christ to God, that every believer ultimately might glory in God, not in anyone or anything else. A very interesting. Verses 21 to 23, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Paulus or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. Have you ever thought of that that way? The church leaders that God gives you, they are yours. God gives them as gifts to you for your edification in Christ. The board members that we have, the leaders, the Sunday school teachers, the people that God has given us to influence us, they are God's gifts to God's people for their building up. So to hold one up as opposed to another and to follow that one versus someone else, it doesn't make sense. They're just gifts. They belong to you. You know, God thinks so much of the church that he's helping the church out by giving these people to his body. So Paul then applied this instruction to the apostles, showing how other believers were to view them. And that acts as a pattern for how believers are to view any leader in the local church as to his ministerial role. That's where chapter 4 comes in. Paul says, let a man so account of us. He's talking of himself as an apostle, as apostles, as of the servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. So Paul urged his readers to view Christ's apostles as hyperetes. That's the Greek term stressing subordination and responsibility to a superior, who in this case is God. Boy, this is so true. When the Lord called me into the ministry, I had no interest in going into the pastorate. I didn't want it. I didn't want that direction at all. I had no interest in it. And yet the Lord pounded it into me, no, you're going into the pastorate, otherwise you're going to appear before me someday at the judgment seat and you won't get rewards. So it was basically that. You do it or else. And I've always sensed that. I sense an enormous accountability to Christ. And that's why I went into the ministry. I didn't go into it because I was looking, there was no personal agenda at all. I had no agenda to go into the ministry. God pushed me in and I backed in, so to speak. And I'm very glad that I went that route. But this is something that God does. God selects the leaders. He appoints them. So they were stewards, thus subordinate to and accountable to the Lord to present the secret things of God. That's the apostles. The message of the cross known only by the Spirit's revelation. Furthermore, in this case, you have two Greek words, hade loipion, which means both furthermore and in this case. It is required of such stewards that they faithfully discharge their duties assigned to them of the Lord, their superior. This is interesting. This is the bottom line that is required. If the Lord ever leads you to get into a position of oversight, the number one thing that he's looking for when everything else fails is faithfulness. He wants you to be faithful and consistent. It's interesting. It's sometimes difficult to do that because there are highs when you're very glad to go ahead and do the ministry. There are lows when you don't feel like it. You know, the motivation's not there. You just feel like your feet are dragging. Still have to be at it. You have to be faithfully discharging your ministry. So if God was their superior, so the apostles answered to him, Paul thought it trivial to be judicially examined, the Greek word is anakrino, by his readers or by any human court, for he did not even judicially examine anakrino again himself, since he did not know anything by himself, nor could he justify anything by his own judgment. But he that judicially examined him was God. This is something that is very good to keep in mind. Paul says in verse 4, for I know nothing by myself, yet I am not hereby justified, but he that judges me is the Lord. If you're in a position of leadership and you get criticized for it, the temptation is to take it personally and to feel very bad. You shouldn't. You know why? Because the person who criticized you is not going to be sitting on the judgment seat of Christ judging you. You know who is? Jesus. Jesus is going to be judging you, and Jesus knows your motive, he knows your intent, he knows your heart, and he's going to take that into consideration. And in fact, you're not even going to be sitting on the judgment seat of Christ yourself judging yourself. You can't do that. We cannot judge even our own motives. There are sometimes in the past, people have had a tendency to judge my motives, and I'm absolutely amazed at that because I don't even evaluate my own motives. I can't. So I don't know how anybody else can judge my motives. The only one who can judge my motives is God. He knows my heart better than I do. So handle that criticism wisely. Criticism is like horse liniment. It's very valuable if you don't take it internally. If you take it internally, it'll burn. Horse liniment, you know what that is? That's the stuff you put on analgesic balm in order to help your muscles if they're stiff or something. Never take it internally. There's always an element of truth in criticism, so you want to get the little seed of criticism, the truth that's there, out of the rest of the stuff that you need to throw away. But the point is, God is the one who judges. So let God do the judging. So we shouldn't feel bad, or we shouldn't just ignore criticism necessarily either way. We need to make sure that we're paying attention to the Lord. So in summation, every believer is not to judge anything regarding the ministry of God's servants before the Lord comes and administers his judgment seat rulings. For then Christ will both bring to light what is hidden in darkness and expose the motives of men's hearts. And he will then graciously praise each man for his ministry. Notice in verse 5, he will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and make manifest the counsels of the hearts. There are a lot of things that are secret. We have board meetings, and you'll notice if you look at the minutes of the board meetings, every now and then we have confidential matter. And that's because the matters are too confidential for the whole congregation as a whole to know. Often we're dealing with individual needs or weaknesses or sins or that kind of a thing. And there are some things, we've had new men come on the board, and within two meetings they're absolutely blown away with what we are having to deal with at times. They just didn't know that was going on. And yet we're dealing with this, we're thinking of the congregation constantly. Well, the same is true. Pastors often have things that they're on their mind. They know things, and they have to keep things very, very secret, and they have to act and function accordingly, and they just can't reveal their hearts. Well, someday at the judgment seat of Christ, after the rapture is over with, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to unveil these things, and he's going to teach the whole church, this is what was going on. And we'll probably be surprised and we'll be amazed. But it's interesting how the Lord very graciously will find something to praise every man. Notice the last part of verse 5. Then shall every man have praise of God. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord in his grace is going to look at the motives. He's going to look at the decisions that were made. So we need to be well aware of the fact that the hidden things of people in the pew, as well as the hidden things of God's servants who minister to them, are so extensive, they're so pervasive, that the only one who can make the proper judgment is God. We must thus wait for him to judge these things. So Paul revealed that God possesses the local church, that each church leader must thus relinquish his worldly wisdom to be taught God's wisdom and humility, that he become effective for the Lord. Also, every believer in the body must realize that every leader is God's servant given to the church for its benefit, that he is accountable to God, and that his ministry will be judged solely by the Lord, who alone knows all things. So may we who lead in the local church see our strict accountability to the Lord to heed and teach only his wisdom. Then may we subordinates in the local church view these leaders as accountable to God for a balanced view of the leaders, that we not divide the body over elevating one leader over another in value. It was interesting today, my wife and I were the family that was listed in the bulletin for prayer. We'd just go through the church directory and just pick out a family, and today we were the ones for the family, and must be the Lord wanted us to have an encouragement or something, because after the service we got very positive feedback from three men in particular that the sermon, they said it nailed it right on the head for us. And also I heard from two believers about what the website ministry is doing. There's a man in Virginia, of all places, who is avidly onto our website to such an extent that he feels that this is his church, and he's trying to figure out how to support it financially from Virginia. Isn't that something? And I don't know this man. Jerry Apruzzi knows him. And I'm just amazed. Another man in our church told us today he was doing some research online because he has a ministry that he's going to have his gym or on radio. And each of the announcers are supposed to have some sort of a devotional that they present on the radio. And so he was doing research online on our website on I've done like six messages on the Star of Bethlehem over the years. And he was doing research, and he says, I want you to know that the research you've been doing, even though it was years ago, is being used now. So that was very encouraging. And it's interesting, sometimes you lose sight of the forest for the trees. You get engrossed in the activities of life and you forget about what is going on. And I realized from this feedback today, I don't really have a clue what the Lord is going to do when he looks at me at the judgment seat of Christ. I don't have a foggiest idea. He's probably going to compliment me in areas that I didn't think I should. He's probably not going to compliment me in areas that I thought he would. I don't know. I'm just at a complete loss. But the point is, what he wants us to do is to focus on just serving him and being faithful. Now, each one of us has a job. I have a job as a pastor, but each one of us here has a job. I know lots of the Slate kids, you're involved in various ministries within the church. Some teaching music with Anna. You've got leadership in various areas on work days. I mean, you guys are busy as bees. You're just working away here. And all of this is something that is recorded by the Lord. And, Mrs. Chris Slate is involved in heavily vacation Bible school and just so many things. It's just amazing. My wife is involved. Everyone here actually is involved in ministry. And what we need to do is not to view ourselves as too lofty, nor to view ourselves as being in the way and clogging up the ministry. We're not. God is using every person here for his glory. And so we need to stop evaluating ourselves and other people by our own criteria. Recognize the only one who can evaluate us properly is God. And that way, it also causes us not to have a tendency to divide over valuing one person over another.